Morning, church. Did you say God is good? Oh, you did. Okay, all right. All right, God is good. And all the time. Thank you. All right, the title of today's message is Just Do It. And the text is going to be on Romans 8:5. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that the words that you put in my heart and in my spirit today to share will be heard and receptive by the people that are sitting out there, Lord. Lord, may you communicate through me to them, and may be it all to your honor and to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as Danny alluded to earlier, he asked me to share on sharing Jesus without fear this morning. You know, the book that we've been going through, it's been a year now, it's been quite a while, and how it has affected my life. And this morning, I hope that this message will encourage, it'll strengthen, and it'll uplift and lessen your burdens concerning sharing Jesus. And what you're going to hear this morning is I'm going to share a lot of personal examples and down-to-earth examples and lessons of what's been going on in my life. So I'd like to start this morning by reading Romans 8:5. And this verse, well, let me read it first. It says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the carnal mind is death, but the spiritual mind is life and peace." Well, these verses, they set in motion the whole theme of what we're doing and what we're sharing. Our minds need to be set on the Spirit, which means God's ways and not mine. Because my ways would be completely different than God's ways. My way would be that everybody out there, there's some way that you have to earn your own salvation. And you better live a good life if you want to keep that salvation. That would be my way, because, you know, works and all the good works you do, they're surely going to keep you from going to hell. But you know what that is? That's wrong. That's not what the Word of God says. And as I share this morning, you all know that, you know, we believe that this is the Word of God's inspired and without error. Hey, Virgil, could you give me a drink then? Water, thanks. That it's without error. We believe that what God has put in here, that's what it says. And we see in Ephesians 2:8 that it says, "For by grace we have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. It's not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Well, we can never enforce enough that it's all about God and it's not me that's doing any of this. God does the calling, and the Holy Spirit, you know, works inside of each individual. And as I was sharing this and thinking this morning too, I look at the work side that I would have to do it, but there's preachers out there today that say, you know, everybody's going to heaven. There's no heaven, there's no hell. And you know, it's just, there's many different ways to heaven. But that's not what the Word of God says, that Jesus Christ is the only way for salvation and to go to heaven. Well, let's just refresh our memory a little bit about the five questions that Bill Faith talks about in sharing Jesus without fear. Well, the first question he asked individuals, he says, "Do you have any spiritual beliefs?" The second question he asked is, "To you, who is Jesus?" And the third is, "Do you believe there's a heaven and a hell?" Fourth is, "If you died right now, where would you go? Would you go to heaven or hell? And if you were going to heaven, you know, why would you be going there? For what reason?" If what you believe were not true, thanks, Virgil, would you want to know about it? These questions are key questions here. And the first one, everybody has pretty much some sort of a spiritual belief. You know, whether it's in some sort of a god, Buddha, but whatever. Everybody has a spiritual belief, even if it's in themselves, that, you know, in a sense that we're our own god. So everybody has something there. And to you, who is Jesus? And also, as I'm reading these questions, you know, or thinking about them, I'm also, you know, incorporating them in my own life. You know, asking myself, you know, what are my spiritual beliefs? And to me, who is Jesus? And as I've been studying and going through the Sharing Jesus Without Fear, Jesus has just become more and more real in my life. He's always been a part of my life ever since I was born. But as it seems odd, but every year, and it just is a continual process of how more and more important the emphasis of my life and my relationship with Him is. You know, we see Him as God, but how do I see Him as God? And how do I see Him or fit into my life, or maybe it's the other way around, how do I fit my life into His life? Not what I want. And the third question here, do you believe there is a heaven and a hell? And a lot of times we have to ask our own self that question. You know, as believers, do we believe that there's a heaven and a hell? Because there's a lot of preachers out there that say there's no hell anymore. That, you know, everybody's going to go to heaven somehow or another. But yes, we do believe that there's a hell. And we need to, you know, constantly be aware of that, that's inevitable happen to people that don't believe in Jesus Christ. All right. I want to look at what have I actually done since this has become part of my life? Well, at this time, you know, I don't have any dramatic examples. I believe, you know, Brian, you've had the best example, you know, sharing Jesus so far with the witness. I can't say that I've had, you know, that type of dramatic examples, but there are, you know, many examples in my life that God has been using. As I put here, God has been working. He's been opening up doors for the future for me to take advantage of. And, you know, in bold letters I have here that sharing Jesus is always in front of my thoughts. Every conversation I have is filtered with that thought. How can I share Jesus Christ? How can I share about His love and what He's done and what He wants to do with everybody? So at work, and one of the fellows from work came here today to be with me and his wife. Thanks for coming. Butch, you want to stand up and say anything? I won't. Because he might. he's a good friend of mine. We worked for many years at West Lawn Graphics and now at Mail Shark. And I'm privileged to have him come up here to be with us today. So, at work, there are many times, you know, that can be an example. Matter of fact, you know, every step I take at work, everything I do, I should be an example for Jesus Christ. How I talk and how I react to all, you know, different situations. One of the examples I want to share this morning is one of the young ladies, she was getting married, and the Lord put on my heart to pray for her. But, you know, right away, there's an inward struggle inside of me. Do I want to do this? You know, but finally, you know, it's like, you know, as the message says, it says, just do it. And the Lord said, just do it. So I did it. And, you know, the scripture that I prayed for was one of my favorites. And Denny shared, you know the scripture that Dennis shares mostly at the end of every service? See if you're all paying attention. Well, yes. He says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And I prayed that over her. And then I had to ask myself, you know, why was there such an inward struggle? Why wouldn't I just want to do this? Why wouldn't we all want to do this just automatically? But there's always the fear. You know, how's a person going to respond? Are they going to say, you know, get away. You know, I don't want you to do that. And then, you know, we kind of ask ourselves, she wasn't married. She was living with a fellow. She's an unbeliever. You know, what's God's response to that? And you know what God's response to that is? Love her. Pray for her. Just do it. And I did, and I was glad I did. And then, you know, she had a couple other, you know, when I said I was going to pray for her, she asked me a couple other questions, and I was kind of wondering why she asked those questions, and I asked, you know, I followed up, you know, kind of like another question, and she said that, you know, she'd been raised in a denominational church and had been shoved down her throat all her life, and, you know, she doesn't go to church anymore. And that's kind of where we're at right now. But, you know, the doors are always open to continue to share. And the next thing I want to share with her is about, you know, her marriage ceremony, see how that went. No, you know, it's not confrontative, but it's just, you know, loving and just talking. And one of the things that, another example I want to share is about being judgmental and how sharing Jesus without fear has opened my eyes up to, you know, how easily we are judgmental with other people. So one of the young ladies that, another lady that works there, she lives an alternate lifestyle. And, you know, when I first started working there, she said, you know, the person she lived with, you know, she gave me that name. It was kind of like one of those neutral names, you know, it could go either way. And so I really didn't know. And then, you know, I had to question myself inside. I was like, well, Paul, what difference does it make? Are you going to treat her any differently? Who her partner is? And it was no. You know, God loves us all. He cares for us very much, very deeply. And then another thought came to me. He goes, well, you know what? You know, she said she, you know, knows some about the Bible. And what if she asked me about the question? She goes, well, what does the Bible say about me? And I'm thinking, whoa. You know, I know what the typical Christian response would be. You go to Deuteronomy, Romans, and boom, 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 boom. And I thought, oh, man. But you know what the Lord told me? That my scripture was? Matthew 5, judge not, lest ye be judged. For in the same way I judge others, that's the way God's going to judge me. It's like, wow, that's loving the person, not judging. And then let God do his work, you know, inside of each individual. So, another example I had at work, thinking when, you know, I'm sharing Jesus, is we just had our 43rd wedding anniversary, 43 years, and it's been a good 43 years. And I think it gets better every year. And one of the young ladies, you know, I said something to her, and she goes, 43 years, just like Denny, you know, and that, she goes, wow, you know, that's pretty unusual in this day and age. And she goes, you know, how'd that happen? How'd you accomplish that? And I said, well, you know, we're believers, and we, you know, we believe the Word of God. But you know what? It's not only believing the Word of God, it's living the Word of God. You can believe this all you want, but if you don't live it out and do it, just do it, that it's not going to make a lot of difference in your life. So you got to not only believe it, but you got to do it. And I know the Lord's been working on me about doing that. There was another book that we had gone through about, you know, understanding the mind of a woman and how the Spirit of God works in a man to understand his wife and to love her more and to appreciate all the things she does. You know, if it wasn't for my wife, I couldn't do any of the things that I accomplished. It scares me to... We work together well. Better stop before I put my foot in my mouth, which I often do. You know what they say about keep your words soft and sweet? Yeah. You often have to eat them. So these are some of the things I tell myself. All right, I want to share a parable that God showed me. And a lot of things I share today from now on are a lot to do with sports. You know, sports are a big part of my life. And I see a lot of similarities between, I put a lot of similarities between sports and Christianity. And one of the first ones I ever noticed was, I don't know if you ever, when you watch a football game, you see somebody with a white hat on. Well, guess what they call him? A white hat. And he's the referee. He's in charge of that game. He's literally God on that field. What he says is law. There's no questioning him. Another thing, that my example today is going to be about volleyball, that there's an assigner. And he assigns the games. And there's only one way to get games. He's the beginning and the end. If he doesn't like you, you don't get any games. Long and short. So you always want the assigner to like you. Well, unfortunately for me in volleyball, the assigner doesn't think a lot about me. because I'm very new at the sport, and I don't have a lot of experience. So in many seasons, I've only gotten a handful of games. Other sports, I get 20 plus. So because I needed training, I was suggested that I go down to Hanover, which is about an hour and 10 minutes from where I work, and do some training down there, which I did, went down three times. And this is a little a side note. I think this is definitely from the Lord, that I was only going to go two. That's a lot of gas to go down and back, a lot of time. So I was kind of praying about it on the way back, and I stopped at a Fresh Farm fueling place, gas station, and I walked in to get soda, and there's a $20 bill laying on in the parking lot. I said, hey, thank you, Lord. That's 20 bucks for gas. I guess I'm supposed to go down there next week. And so then to top that, I took my car in for repairs, and they gave me a loaner car. It was a 2017 Silverado station or pickup truck. That was pretty nice, too. So I got to drive from work down there and back in this new pickup truck to Hanover. But it was sucking up all the gas, and the only responsibility I had was to put gas in it when I got back. Well, I decided to drive my car to work that day because I didn't want to use the gas, and I got a call at work saying, we need this pickup truck back right away because we sold it. And so I said, fine, but I don't have it. It's in my driveway. You can go over there and get it any time, I said, but I didn't put any gas in it. It would have been $20, $30 worth of gas. And they go, don't worry about it. We want it back right away. So they went over and got it. So I got to use the pickup truck for free, and I got 20 bucks for gas that I didn't have to use. So I figured, okay, the Lord, maybe then that's why I have this story, because of all that. So I went down there, and the first session, my problem is, I don't know if you know volleyball, it's hands, double hits, and it's really hard to see them. It's very subjective. So I've been working on that, and the first two times, sessions wasn't doing real well. But by the time of the second session, he's standing right next to me for 3 hours telling me what to do. And he tells you, I'm going to be brutally honest, and which I'm glad for. But he's finally, just do it, Paul. Just call one. Even if it's not close, even if you think it is, just do it. And so I finally started to do that. Just do it. And he was always encouraging me and showing me. And I felt that was, kind of an analogy of the Holy Spirit. It's like when we go out to share Jesus, you might not be kind of feel like you're ready to do it, or you think you don't have everything lined up and do it, but it's like, just do it. That's the only way you're going to learn. Just do it. But then on the other hand, I come back, and we have our interpretation meeting, and I hadn't gotten any games, and I go to the assigner. I said, why aren't I getting any games? And he goes, well, you don't know the rules well enough, Paul. And I don't know about a lot of people here, but I can read that rule book 100 million times. But until I go out in that court and start doing it, that's the way I learn. I can read, but I have to do by example. And it's kind of like he's saying, don't go swimming until you know how. Don't jump in that water until you learn how to swim. Well, you got to jump in that water to learn to swim. That's the only way you do it. So then he said, another official said, you're really horrible. Which is probably true, you had a couple of scrimmages and you're supposed to be, learn. And this guy's been doing it for 30 plus years, or he's in his 80s. And then he told me, he goes, there's a guy that, he didn't exactly say that he was as bad as you are, but about the same. And he goes, and he quit last year, or he didn't start this year. And he goes, and that was probably a pretty good idea for him. He goes, and then he said, just for the integrity of the game, you shouldn't do it. So, but it was just like, that's the enemy, as we share. We have one guy telling us, just do it. Go out there and just do it. And then we have somebody else saying, the enemy's telling us, You know, maybe for the sake of Christianity, you shouldn't do that, because you're going to really make God look bad. But the Lord's telling us, just do it. And this guy's a guy, he's a believer. See, he's not an ungodly man at all. I don't want to, you know, say that. And we have worked our differences out a little bit. We've talked. But, you know, here you have on one hand somebody just telling you to do it, and the other one saying, you know, for the integrity, get out. But God's telling us, just do it. And then some thoughts I want to just leave with us today is that, you know, I believe everything's a game. Some people say it's not, but, you know, to me, everything is a game. You know, whether it's at work, we're trying our best, you know, to do our, you know, the hardest. I'm trying to win at everything I do. And life, I believe, is the same way, that at the end, you either receive heaven or hell. You know, the reward is, you know, heaven, if we make Jesus Christ our Lord and do what he wants us to do by his, you know, his rules and his regulations. And if you don't follow them, you lose. Another example I have of sports that I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to share today is, I mean, it was just, you know, Friday night's game, Mannheim and Warwick. Mannheim was up 35 points in the first half. One more point, they would have been in the mercy rule. The mercy rule is, at 36 points, it's a continuous running clock. So the other team, it doesn't give them much of a chance to come back. So they were up by 35 points, and then they almost lost the game. And it was like, you know, what happened here? Well, the word, and they actually used it in the paper, was intensity. That in the first half, they had intensity. I mean, they were playing with all their might and all that they had within them. But then when they got way up ahead, it's kind of like, you know, we've made it and we have arrived. And the other team, and this is a mark of good teams, okay, both ways. Warwick didn't have the intensity of the first, but they didn't give up. They thought, well, we're down, and we're a good team. They had the intensity. And they almost came back and won the game. And the Holy Spirit was telling me that, you know, we need to be the same way with our intensity when we're sharing Jesus and we're living our Christian life, that everything we do, intensity. Because when we let our guard down and let our intensity down, we're going to start losing. And the enemy is going to start winning. So, and Jesus told us in the end of Matthew 28, our intensity, with all our intensity, he doesn't use that word, but he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you, even to the end of the age. We need to do that with intensity. So, just some conclusion, concluding marks here. Get a drink here. We need to be constantly aware of all the possibilities, you know, of sharing. You know, whether we're at the market, a football game, wherever we are, be ready to share about Jesus Christ. Know that it's always the Holy Spirit that does the leading. Not you or I, but he does the leading. And also, God has you, you know, right where he wants you right now. You know, Mason, whether it's at school, Jason in your business, Paul driving, Sam driving, Denny when he's working, driving around, Brian, Virgil when the slow... I always kid him about the slow Kreider trucks. But wherever God has you, that's where he wants you right now. He has me in a, you know, in a business right now where I have lots and lots of opportunities to share Jesus and to live a godly example. So, you know, we all have, what a field of evangelism. And one of the, you know, the places that I have, you know, is in the sports I belong to, volleyball, softball. And it's been quite a while that at first I was always questioning, did God really want me, you know, in officiating? You know, wouldn't I be better off on a mission field somewhere or doing something else or being a pastor here or doing this there? But somehow, however, the Holy Spirit and the Lord has confirmed it in me this year that that's where God wants me to be. And when you and when you're steadfast, you're no longer wishy-washy. No, you know, I should be there, I should be there. And when you're doing that, you're nowhere. So God, I'm convinced that that is God where has placed me. And sometimes it takes, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12 years to be in a place where they look at you and take you seriously. That, you know, you are part, they call it a brotherhood, you know, or officiating. Welcome to the brotherhood, I was told. And every year you get, you know, deeper and deeper with those folks, and they take you more seriously in what you say and share and as you're with them. So take advantage of the opportunities of where you are and what you do. And one last thing here that, you know, struck me right between the eyes, I guess it was 2 weeks ago. Denny asked me, what's the opposite of love? What's the opposite of love? And if that was my first thought, hate. If I don't love you, I hate you. Right. And the answer is indifference. And I have that on my cutter now. You'll have to check, Butch. It's right up there. I wrote the word indifference. Because if I'm indifferent about you, if I just don't care anything about you, I don't love you. And God has told us to love one another. You know, as he has loved us. It's the way that we show that we are believers. So that's a constant reminder for me to love the people that I'm with. So in conclusion, just do it. Don't be afraid. If you have an opportunity, you know, bite the bullet and just do it, and it'll be a blessing for you. Amen.
Michelle? Where is she? Oh, there she is. Okay.